Chapter 3, Mark 20.01.23. The teleport burst scorches and jolts every molecule of their bodies. It is an intensely risky operation, a considerable near-space distance, a vast energy expenditure, mass transfer, an entire armoured kill squad, a comparatively small target zone. Thiel loathes teleports. It feels like you're being pushed through the mesh of an electrified sieve. There's always a bang like a fusion bomb in your brain. There is always an aftertaste like bile and burned paper left in your mouth. They materialize. He stumbles, his balance screwed for a second. He's on a deck. He hears a scream. Given the risk factor and the atrocious error margins, the teleport can be considered a success. 46 of the squad have appeared with Gilliman on the transverse assembly deck of Zetsun Verid Yard. They have lost 4. 2 of them are fused into the bulkhead wall behind them, parts of their visors and gauntlets and knees protruding seamlessly from the grey adamantium. Another has been reduced to a glistening red sludge by reformation failure. He is spread over a wide area. A fourth, Brother Verkus, has materialized bonded into the deck plates from the waist down. He is the one screaming. It's not as though he can be pulled out. He is the deck now, and the deck is him. It's troubling to hear a legionary scream with such a lack of restraint, but they say teleportation overlap is the most unimaginable pain. Gilliman cradles his head and kills him quickly to end his suffering. "Move," he instructs the squad. There's no time for reflection, no time to take a breath. There's no time to get over the stinging discomfort of the transfer. The squad confirms its arrival site against schematics of the yard and fans out. There is caution, but there is no loss of pace. They are transhumans, moving with all the speed and efficiency they possess. The transverse assembly deck was chosen because it was the largest interior space and thus allowed for the greatest transfer in precision. Their assault target is the yard's master control room, 2 decks up. The word bearers will have read the teleport flare. You can't mask an energy signature like that. Eutonicus confirms their transfer by vox to the McCrag's honour. Gage replies that there is insufficient power for a second transfer. Empion's kill squad will not be following them, not for a while at least. They move up through the deck gantries, past the massive air gate and mooring assemblies where ships are docked. The interior superstructure is brightly lit and filled with a vast network of chrome pipes, rods, and cable work. Word-bearers open fire on them from above. Shots rip past them, exploding against the bare metal and ceramite fabric of the yard. The blasts and impacts make huge booming sounds inside the artificial structure. 2 ultramarines, Peleus and Eractus, die in the first hail of shells. They are cut apart by sustained fire. Then Brother Lysidor topples over a rail, headshot. His cobalt blue figure drops into the assembly area below, arms outstretched. The ultramarines fire back, covering the structures above them in a cloud of bolter blasts. Word-bearers topple, but there are more to fill their places. Many more. Gilliman roars a challenge to them. He condemns them to death. He condemns their master to a worse fate. He hurls himself at them. The Primarch is, of course, their greatest asset, Thiel realizes, not because of his physical superiority, though that is hard to overestimate. It is because he is a Primarch. Because he is Reboot Gilliman. Because he is simply one of the greatest warriors in the Imperium. How many beings could measure favourably against him, honestly? All 17 of his brothers? Not all 17. Nothing like all 17. 4 or 5 at best. At best. The word-bearers on the upper structures see him coming. They are kill squad strength at least, the best part of a full company. At least a proportion of them are the vaunted Gal Vorbach elite. But they see him coming, and they know what that means. It doesn't matter what cosmic dementia has corrupted their minds and souls. It doesn't matter what eternal promises the dark gods are whispering in their ears. It doesn't matter what inflated courage the warp has poured into their veins along with madness. Gilliman of Ultramar is coming right at them, to kill them. To kill them all. Even though they stand a chance of hurting him, they waste it. They balk. For a second their twisted hearts know fear. Real fear. And then he has them. And then he is killing them.
With him! With him!
Thiel yells. They surge forward. Mangled word-bearers fly overhead or crash into the decks around them. When Thiel reaches his Primarch's side, Gilliman has slain a dozen at least. His bolt gun is roaring. His power fist crackles with cooking blood. It is brutal, close quarters. Thiel has the exotic longsword that has served him so well on this darkest of days. Two-handed, he wields it, cutting crimson ceramite like silk. Word-bearer's blood looks black, as if it is sour and polluted. Thiel flanks his Primarch, advancing steadily with a press of the assault towards the primary hatch. They lose 8 men. 8 Ultramarines. But they break through into the master control room, leaving a carpet of enemy dead in their wake. The real fight awaits them there. A stunning barrage of bolter fire greets them, killing Stetius, killing Ascretis, killing Eutonicus. Cor Pharon, master of the dark faith, master of the unspeakable word, orders his men forward. Then he flies at Gilliman, trailing dark vapour, coruscating with black energies torn from the pits of the warp.
Bastard!
Gilliman howls. He does not flinch. Not for a second. Mark 20.06.23. The Guildhall shakes. Titans are firing at it. I need an update! Ventanus yells into the vox as blizzards of glass and masonry swirl around him. He stayed on the surface to command the repulse. Celoton has ridden down into the armoured bunker with Torin. All data and vox links from Leptius Numinus shut down about 5 minutes ago. The palace has fallen. The only feed Ventanus has is close-range comms with his company. The server has activated the engine, Celoton voxes back. She is connecting. Connecting to the MRU. Is it working? Ventanus demands. I don't know what it looks like if it is working, Celoton replies. I can guarantee it looks better than this, Ventanus responds. Armour, loyal to the word-bearers, is pushing relentlessly along the transit, covering their positions with a hail of shells and bulk las. Smoke and rain have cut visibility to almost nothing. Fabricatory buildings on the far side of the road have collapsed in welters of flame and stone. 2 Reaver Titans, weapons mounts glowing from relentless discharge, are approaching through the smoke at full stride. Ceramica is dead. Lorcas is dead. Sparzi is probably dead too. Ventanus can't find Grievous or Sidance. The company line is broken. The 4th has done all it can. It cannot match the overwhelming strength of Hol Beloth's offensive.
The server has launched the kill code, Celoton reports. She is launching it into the grid system. She's preparing for a purge.
Ventanus ducks as Titan Fire hurls a land raider into the air a few dozen meters ahead of him. It lands, burning, buckled, hitting the torn ground so loudly it sounds as though the sky is caving in. The sky is caving in, of course. Blue-white fire crackles above the rain. Solar flares are searing Kalth's upper atmosphere, irradiating the stricken world, triggering massive, unnatural aurora displays as energetic charged particles strike the thermosphere. Light and colour jump and twist around Ventanus. Light from the explosions, light from the agonized sky.
That's good, isn't it? Ventanus voxes back. That's good.
Yes, Captain, Celoton responds, but it's useless without control. She can't take control of a grid until enemy control is taken away. And that hasn't happened. She is telling me that hasn't happened.
A Galvorback beast looms at Ventanus through the murk, swinging a power axe. He wears no helmet. His face is not human. Ventanus meets the charge and plants his blade across the haft of the axe, blocking the swing. They struggle. Ventanus is forced back by the killer's bruising power. The locked weapons break apart, and Ventanus ducks hard to avoid the scything chop that follows. Ventanus recovers quickly, ramming his blade upwards. His sword tip glances off the Galvorbax's axe, deflects into the enemy's mouth, and skewers his head. The Galvorback doesn't die. Not fast enough. He laughs around the blade impaling his mouth. Black blood pumps out over the sword hilt and Ventanus's hand and arm. The Galvorback puts his axe deep into Ventanus's side.
Then he obliges and dies. Ventanus sinks to one knee.
Anything? He voxes. Captain? Are you all right?
Celaton replies.
Is there anything yet?
Your voice sounds strange.
Celaton, has she got it yet?
Ventanus growls.
No, sir. Enemy control is still in place.
The Titans are close now. The last shadow sword remaining with the fourth fires and damages one of the striding giants, but they reply together and turn the super-heavy tank into a vast conflagration that levels the city blocks behind it. Nothing else is coming. None of the support that they hoped might arrive to stand with them. None of the reinforcements. Their hope was a good hope, but it was not strong enough. The 17th Legion has won the Battle of Kalth. Mark 20.09.41. The Satric Plateau is bathed in aurora light. The local star spews energy across the entire Viridian system. Erebus watches. Rain is falling. The rain is blood. The demons scream. The storm breaks. Mark 20.10.04. Corpheron greets Gilliman with a beam of smoke light, a column of wretched darkness that bursts from the palm of his right hand and smashes the 13th Primarch into the chamber wall. Gilliman gets back up, but he is shaken. The wall is crumpled where he struck it. Corpheron cries out, a bark of straining effort, and manufactures another ray of smoke light. Gilliman is charging, but the beam slams him back into the bulkhead with a kinetic slap so powerful that it rings out with a deafening sonic boom. Gilliman staggers up, falls, and then half rises, clenching his power fist. The ceramite of his breastplate is cracked. Gilliman coughs, and blood drips from his mouth. He tries to stand. Corpheron blasts him again, this time with a weird negative electricity that crackles around Gilliman and causes him to seize in violent spasms. Gilliman is left on his hands and knees, his cobalt-blue plating scorched, his head bowed, his whole form smouldering as the superheated armour burns his skin. The word-bearer draws his athame and steps forward. Corpheron can see a choice, and it delights him. He can end the life of the great Gilliman. A personal kill is so much more valuable than a distant or mass killing. With his own hand, he can murder Obute Gilliman. Or with his own hand, he can turn him. Just as the War Master was turned. Erebus did it, so Corpheron can do it. Gilliman is hurt, weak, vulnerable. The bite of the athame will free Gilliman's sanity while he is in such a state, slice away his inhibitions. The painful burn of the athame wound will fester in him and ultimately, through the lens of delirium, reveal the primordial truth in all its hellish glory. They came to Kalth to kill Gilliman and his perfect warriors. How much more will it mean to return to the court of Lorgar and Horus Lupercal with Gilliman as a willing and pliant ally? Gilliman, crowned with horns, Gilliman invested in the iridescent cloak of demonhood. Corpheron stoops beside the crumpled Primarch. Gilliman's breathing is fast and ragged, his armour smokes, discoloured, and his blood pools beneath him.
"There is so much you don't understand," says Corpheron. "The truth will shock you, Raboot. I'm sorry it will, but you will learn to accommodate it. I'm happy to share my knowledge with you, to help you understand, to grow in appreciation." "Get away from me," Gilliman gasps. "Too late. Embrace this."
Thiel is too far away to stop it. Locked in the unyielding fight, raging on the opposite side of the control chamber, Thiel glimpses what he knows is likely to be the final few seconds of Raboot Gilliman's life. He tries to break through, screaming out his rage and frustration. The word-bearers have driven Gilliman's kill squad back, slaying most of them. Thiel and the others fight to reach their Primarch's side, but they cannot. There are too many of the enemy, and these are the enemy elite.
three warriors obstruct Eoned Thiel. One is Sorot Chure. Chure blocks every strike and thrust Thiel makes as surely as a practice cage set on maximum extremity level. Corpheron puts the blade of the Athame to Gilliman's throat.